I'm working. Is this working?
No.
Yes. It is?
Yeah.
Good.
Short.
Okay. Right. Okay, good morning. Like Tommy said, what I'm going to talk about this morning, I hope will be an encouragement for anyone who might be going through any hard times or struggling with something. I want to talk about where we stand with God and how we can be sure and encouraged about where we are with God and how we can be secure. Is there anyone to do the slides?
Yes.
Yes, no, thank you.
Are they on there?
They should be, yes. Anyway, yeah, it was good to hear Tommy talking about expecting the unexpected, because really what I want to get across really is that no matter what happens in our lives, we have this security with God, and whatever unexpected things happen, He's always there, He's always our rock. I'm going to start with a verse from a psalm that I found really helpful in my life not long ago. Some reason though, I lost an aunt towards the end of last year, me and Pamela were quite close with, and it was kind of a hard time in our lives, quite a dark time sometimes, and I think we both struggled at times. So I, during my prayer time, I came across this Psalm 89. I'm not going to read the whole psalm because it's quite long, but I want to start as a kind of focus on just one verse. Verse 26, I'll just make sure it's on the slide if it comes up. So Psalm 89, verse 26, it's very simple, but it's like a really clear statement of where we are with God as believers. It says just this: He shall cry to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." And I just found that really powerful at that time, just to focus on that, just to reflect on who God is to us. He's our Father. You know, He loves us as a Father. He wants the best for us. He's our God. He's powerful. He created us. He never changes. And He's the rock of my salvation. Yep, there we go. He's the rock. So He's steady. We stand on Him. So sometimes we go through difficult times. Sometimes we don't understand why. We cry to God. Why are these things happening? I don't understand. But no matter what happens, our status with God doesn't change. I think it was Robert said last week that no matter how we feel, our status with God doesn't change. He was depressed. He was still praying for people. God still worked through him and healed people. Steve's talk last week, he was talking about, you know, when people fall away from Christianity, it's usually because of emotion. They can't reconcile something that's happened to them. But we can have an assurance with God that no matter what happens, no matter how we feel, no matter how bad we feel, we're not separated from God. And it's really vital. I just, you know, want to stress that we as a church, as believers, that we support each other and remind each other of God's faithfulness. Someone's already spoken of it this morning, that God fulfills His promises, that He's faithful. That's another thing I want to touch on this morning. We need to share with each other what we've been through. Because sometimes, you know, someone just needs to know that someone else has been through what they're going through and has come out the other side. Mm-hmm. Someone who's in a dark place, they can't see the other side, but it could help them just to know someone else has been through this. Mm-hmm. go to the next slide. Yeah. So that this is from Colossians, Paul writing to the church there. And he just wants to communicate to the church the struggles that he's been through. He wants to encourage the church. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. For those who are led to see it, and for all who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts would be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, it's just a word of encouragement. Paul saying, you know, I've struggled, I continue to struggle, but I want you to be encouraged. He doesn't try to paint a rosy picture of his life. He encourages them by being honest with them. Good. By saying, this is what I've been through, this is what I'm going through. It's hard, it's not easy, but be encouraged, because we'll get through the other side, because we stand on the rock. So I want to focus in on that word, the rock of my salvation. I really held on to that. I'm going to go to the obvious place where Jesus talks about the rock. He talks about building our house on the rock. You know, Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. We'll go to the next one. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts in them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against the house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against the house, and it fell, and its fall, and great was its fall. So, I mean, we can see Jesus isn't saying it's going to be easy. He's saying storms are going to come, hard times are going to come, it's going to be difficult. But if you build your house, if you build your life on Christ the rock, you will come out the other side, you will still be standing. Now, it's interesting that it says exactly the same things are going to happen to the people who don't believe. So whether we're in Christ, whether we're outside of Christ, our life is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And the difference is, you stand on Christ, nothing that comes against you can defeat you. But if you don't, you will fall. And as it says, the fall will be great. See, our problems don't disappear when we become Christians. Sometimes you might get new problems. Sometimes people don't like you when you're a believer. You know, people might reject you, might make fun of you. You probably change your lifestyle, and people can react badly to that. Like I said, God's not saying it'll be easy, but he is. He's saying that he will be faithful. He's saying that your house will stand through the storm.
That's good. Yeah.
As he says in an earlier verse in that same chapter, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So we'll go through hard times, but God is faithful. Simple message. Let's go to the next one. Yeah, that's that verse. So I wanted to give an example from the scriptures of someone who was going through hard times and had to trust in God to get through those. And Pamela she was at a conference or a talk this week, and she came home with this chapter from Genesis, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to use that. So Genesis chapter 16. And it's the story of Hagar, the servant of Abraham, and Sarai, later who then became Abraham and Sarah, who was the mother of Ishmael. And as you're probably familiar with the story, Sarai is kind of past the age of bearing children. but she believes that she can't have a child now, she's too old. So she has Hagar bear a child for her husband Abraham instead. So Hagar obeys, she becomes pregnant. Now, she doesn't act very well. I think the scripture says she was she showed contempt to Sarai. And Sarai then gets angry and starts treating her very badly. So to escape this treatment, she runs away. Steve, can I put it next slide? So what, after she's run away, an angel of the Lord appears to her. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, I missed a wee bit there. "Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction." Yeah. Sorry. Start a bit. Yes, the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. The Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So that was quite long, I apologise, but I wanted to use this story as an illustration of someone who found themselves in a very difficult situation and possibly couldn't see a way out of it, couldn't see hope for herself. You know, this lady, she's pregnant, and she found herself in a domestic situation where she was being mistreated very badly, so much that she ran away, even though, I don't know what kind of hope she would have had running away as this kind of single pregnant woman at this time in history. So it must have been pretty desperate. She would have struggled to survive. And then the Lord says to her, the angel of the Lord, he tells her to go back. First he asks her, "Where have you come from? And where are you going?" It's like he's saying, you know, look at your life, examine yourself. Where are you running to? There's nowhere to go. Stop and think. And he tells her a hard thing. Go back to the place where you're being mistreated. Go back to the place you're running away from. Back to the pain. But he also makes her a promise. And he promises to be faithful. He promises that her offspring will be multiplied. And we get some insights here into the nature of God, what he's like. It says, because God has listened to your affliction, he has seen your affliction. And she says of God, "You are a God of seeing." That tells us the well is called Beer Lahai Roy. And that means the well of the living one who sees me. So it's really clear, you know, of all that's going on, God sees it. He hasn't turned his face away. He's aware of it. And he knows about her suffering. He knows about our suffering. He can empathize with us genuinely, and especially because of the life of Jesus on the earth. Through that, he personally knows human suffering. He knows rejection. He knows what it's like. You know, it says you're a God of seeing. I think a lot of us, when we're hurting, we just want to know that we're seen. We just want some sort of acknowledgement that what we're going through is real, that it matters, that someone cares. And I think it's telling us, you know, God sees you. God sees what you're going through. God cares what you're suffering. You know, I was thinking, there's been on the news there recently about the Hillsborough disaster, where there was that football match where so many people died. And the families and friends for 27 years have been pursuing an acknowledgement of what happened, of their suffering. They wanted a statement, really, saying, you know, yes, this was wrong. Wrong was done to you and your families. And that they've got that now. But 27 years, you know, what does that say about human beings, that they will hold on for that long just for an acknowledgement, just to know that they've been heard, that they've been seen? And God knows that. He sees us and He hears us. He sees our hurt. He's a God of seeing. So God is faithful. And we stand secure in God. So I want to jump now to Romans. This is a statement from Romans. So I want to say, where are we with God? Where is the Christian with God? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into His grace, in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit He has been given to us. So where do we stand? We stand in the grace of God. I'm just stating the faith here, really, but God sees us as righteous because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross.
Good.
Our mental state, whatever we're going through, whether we're depressed or elated, it doesn't change the way that God sees us. It doesn't change where we stand in terms of righteousness in God's eyes. We rejoice in our sufferings. That's a hard one. Now, I think I was reading some C.S. Lewis yesterday, and it reminded me that joy is not the same as pleasure or happiness. There's no pleasure in suffering. But the scriptures tell us that there can be joy if we recognize why we're suffering, who we're suffering for, and what suffering can produce in us. And then where do we stand? Perhaps greatest of all, we stand with God, the Holy Spirit in us, God's love poured into our hearts. God Himself inside us. So that's where we stand as Christians, and that standing is secure. No matter what we feel, no matter what we're going through. We've been taken out of the world and we've been grafted into the kingdom of God. Undeserving, but and purely because of what God has done. So all we could ever do was respond to His actions. So our standing is good and righteous and independent of our emotions. And it is also secure. Stay the next slide, please. In the same book, Paul tells us how secure our standing is. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, delivered Him over for us all, how will He also not with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and also intercedes for us. Jesus intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Next slide, Steve. Just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wanted to read that whole passage because I just think it emphasizes and declares so strongly how secure is our standing with God, how secure is our salvation. If we stand on the rock, we cannot be moved. That's a lot of things that cannot separate us from God. And none that can't. Or none that can, sorry. So what's the point? Look, just whatever we're going through, whatever we're struggling with, you know, however we feel, our standing is good and secure. Now, I want to go back to the Psalm 89 again, to kind of hopefully bring us together a wee bit. Let's move on to it. This is a great psalm. The first part of the psalm is full of praise of God, of his faithfulness, of his loving kindness. This is the start. I will sing of his loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your seat forever and build up your throne to all generations. The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? If they violate my statutes and do not keep my commands, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. For I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips.
It's very good.
So there's praise, and then there's this. We'll jump forward to verse 31 here, but this is, you know, God saying he's faithful. No matter what we do, we will sin, we will fall down, we will go through hard times, but he is faithful to us. He will not change what he has said. You know, we've said he keeps his promises. He doesn't change. Well, he said something, he said it, and it stays the same forever. And then the psalm kind of changes from verse 38 onwards. We see this, the kind of the psalmist, he must be going through hard times from what we see. Next slide. So, you know, and he expresses it really clearly, you know, his desperation. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember what my span of life is. For what vanity you've created all the sons of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. He doesn't really hold back. You know, and let's take that as a lesson. You know, it's okay to cry out to God and say, why? Lord, when's this going to end? We don't have to pretend everything's okay. You know, we need to cry out to God, and he wants us to. And the psalm, it almost ends like that, right up until the last verse. But the very last verse despite you know, all this desperation, despite how this guy must have felt, the last verse says, blessed be the Lord forever.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Good.
So here's, this is really just what I want us to take away. You know, in the dark times, we can always cry out. We can always cry out praise and know that God is blessed because we are secure. And we can always cry out, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.